Powers of Man by Charles Fillmore. And our power for the month of March is strength, and our color is green. Think about the concept of and your perception of the word strength. And so often, for me anyway, it has to do with power and force and pushing the elephant up the hill. And if you're familiar with the Bible, and especially the Old Testament, you remember David and Goliath. And Goliath was the great, big, strong giant that David overcame. But I invite us to consider that there's much more to the experience of strength than just pushing things around. And there must be, because very often, at least for me, it doesn't require whatever it is does not require physical labor and intensive pushing. It requires silence. It requires introspection and listening for what the next step is. So that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. I think we, especially maybe in America, come from the place of doing. We're human doings much more so than human beings. You know, in other parts of the world, they get some preposterous number of weeks of paid vacation a year, like 6 weeks a year. And I think in some countries in April, the month of August, the country basically closes down because everybody goes on vacation for the month because they have all this vacation time that they need to use. And so they use it. There was that great commercial. Was it MasterCard? A few months ago, the television commercial that was out, and the little kids were talking and about the number of people that carry over weeks and weeks of paid vacation to the next year and how ridiculous that is. Because we're doing something. We're always doing something, and we should be doing something. And I come from a belief that I got from somebody, and I don't know who, that don't just sit there, do something. There's always something to be done. You know, the dog needs to be walked, or the dishes need to be washed, or the babies need to be changed, or whatever. There's always something to do. And in our doing, very often we don't give ourselves the opportunity to just listen. So rather than don't sit there, do something, don't just sit there, do something, let's switch it to say, don't just do something, sit there and listen. So this concept of strength might be in the willingness to look at what no longer serves us, ask what we need to change and release, and then do it to get out of the victimhood, the struggle, and the belief in limitation. This teaching is not for the faint of heart. This teaching, life, if we're going to live life the way we came here to live it, requires us to look at what we believe, rather than going 80 or 90 or 100 years just schlepping along whatever it is and hoping for the best. Jesus said, it's done unto you as you believe. So we've got to figure out what we believe and change what no longer serves us. Because otherwise, tomorrow and next week and next month and next year is going to look exactly like today and yesterday and the day before did. But we have to have the strength and the courage, like we talked about last month, to look at that, decide what works for us, and change what doesn't. So the book says strength has four spiritual aspects, starting with patience. And I'm going to be talking about the four spiritual aspects of strength throughout the month, each aspect in much more detail on its own week, but I thought I'd give you kind of a top line overview of what the month is, we're going to be talking about during the month. Starting with patience, Charles Fillmore defines patience as persistent courage. Now, in 2015, it's been my experience that I will include you in my experience. If this is not you, that's okay, but go with me on this. I'm not a very patient person. The microwave takes a minute and 35 seconds, and I'm standing there yelling, hurry. The email that I just sent 3 seconds ago, it hasn't gotten there yet? So it was going to Australia. It hasn't gotten there yet? You got to be kidding me. Life is pretty amazing. Life is immediate, and of course with social media and with the fact that everybody's got a camera. Just a little editorial comment. You know, I just really have to laugh when somebody is so surprised because they get caught doing something. Everybody's got a camera. If you've got a phone, you've got a camera. You can't get away with anything in 2014 because everybody's seeing what you're doing. And oh, by the way, they're taking a picture of it. But that's a separate Sunday talk. We are not patient. Do you remember the days before email? If you're not old enough to remember the days before email, I don't want to hear about it. But for the rest of us, the way that you communicated with somebody was you put a stamp on an envelope and dropped it in the mailbox, and it got there in 3 or 4 or 5 days. Now, priority mail takes 2 days coast to coast, which is pretty amazing if you think about it, and that's not fast enough for us. Before email, before automated teller machines. In the late 70s, I worked for San Diego Trust and Savings Bank, who is no longer here, but some of you might remember, in the Escondido branch, and our branch was the first branch in the system to get a 24-hour teller, an ATM machine, and you couldn't deposit, you could only get a balance and withdraw money. But we were hot stuff. And of course, in 2015, you don't have to climb out of the bed because if you can get to your mail or your checks, you can scan the check on your smartphone, and so you don't have to go to the bank. Amazing. We've lost that experience of patience sometimes. And you've heard me talk about how the fact that I am not patient with inanimate objects, but that's my trip, not necessarily yours, and that's okay. In our spiritual practice, how are we with our patience? Very often we think sometimes that we're waiting as soon as God does what God's supposed to do, as soon as we talk the universe into doing whatever it is, then that's going to appear for us or manifest for us. But we know that we're not talking God into doing anything. We're changing our belief about whatever it is. How are we with our patience with ourselves? If it doesn't happen this afternoon, if it doesn't happen in 20 minutes, do we keep on keeping on? Do we keep knowing the truth of the situation? Or do we give up and say, well, this teaching doesn't work? Are we able to be patient and wait for that? And that there's also some steadfastness in that which is one of the other pieces to this experience that I'll be talking about in a little while. Strength is not required to be hateful, judgmental, impatient, or resentful. Strength is required to dwell in mystery and curiosity. And if you spend any time with family, oftentimes there is the opportunity for the mystery and curiosity thing. Because I don't know about you, but it's been my experience. I was talking with somebody, I forget who it was, about a dysfunctional family. And the conclusion that we came to is everybody's is. I have dear friends on the East Coast, and I knew the parents, and then I got to know the son really well, and I got to know the daughter really well, and I got to, and we talked about, because the son had, the brother had stuff with the sister, and the sister had stuff with the brother, and both of them had stuff with the father, and they both had stuff with the mother, and it's just I'm sitting there smiling, trying biting the insides of my mouth to keep from laughing, because I'm like, man, oh man, we're just all doing this together. We've all put the fun in dysfunction. And it's fine. It's just fine. Because all of us come with our experiences and our history and our beliefs and our stuff. And we pass that on to our children because we love them and want them to be okay and successful. And sometimes that's exactly what they want to do. And sometimes it's not. And either way, it's got to be okay. So we can come from this place of patience with mystery and with curiosity. What is the lesson in this experience? What can I learn from this? What is this button that just keeps getting pushed that I can maybe decide to let go of? You probably don't have any of those buttons, but I do. How can I tolerate this button? Or even better, how can I uninstall this button? That's the opportunity for us. How can I release this if it doesn't serve me anymore? And how can I show love in this situation and see around, see over, see under whatever the appearance is and show patience and show love? So our first strength is patience. And our first spiritual aspect of strength is patience. Our next one is tolerance. I don't like this word because you tolerate a stone in your shoe. You tolerate a piece of shredded wheat under your denture. You tolerate something that you don't really want, but you put up with it. What do we tolerate in our lives that we could upgrade to accepting and then upgrade to embracing? Think about what we tolerate in our lives. If you were with me last week, I spoke about loving extravagantly. And I quoted Stephanie Dowrick's book, Forgiveness and Other Acts of Love. And she talks about the experience of our worldview. My worldview is how it should be. For me, for you, for the rest of the world. Thankfully, sometimes that works. Very often, it does not. So how do we change our worldview into something that's not only tolerable, but embraceable? There's a great quote from Stephanie Dowrick's book, and it's on the front cover of your bulletin this morning. Thinking about the experience of tolerance and of patience and of strength, she says, it is demanding to try to understand people who engage with life very differently from the way we do. But it can also be fascinating and highly instructive. Why do we read books, travel far from home, shop for exotic items, see movies, listen to music, have friends, lovers, neighbors? Isn't it so that we can see through thousands of eyes and not just our own? Hear with thousands of ears and not just our own? Listen to thousands of voices and not just our own? That's it, and isn't that an interesting thought? Because that's why we go places, is to see how life is different. And if you've never traveled outside of this country or even outside of this region, I so invite you to go someplace, because it's amazing. Even when we lived in Boston for 2 years, it is a completely different experience on the east, in the Northeast, New York and Boston, a completely different experience than it is here in lifestyle and in climate and in scenery and just everything. It's a completely different experience. And that's why we go to experience those new and different smells and tastes and flavors and all of that. So we're interested in something different, unlike us. We've got to be able to not only tolerate, but also accept and embrace when that happens in our own backyard. In tolerance, we get to look at our shadow. The shadow is what I don't want to look at in myself. The shadow is that part of me that the shadow is that part of you that makes me absolutely crazy. And the reason that it does is because I could be that exact same way, but I don't want to admit it. I went through Debbie Ford's shadow process several years ago. Absolutely amazing experience. And what happens is you look at someone who just makes you crazy. You look at someone who is the essence of a we talked about it Wednesday night in class. What's the word somebody looks like they're, come on guys, help me with this. Look, the world revolves around them. Narcissist, thank you so much. See, I've got my support team here with me. You look at somebody who is an absolute narcissist and you find out what that means, and that's them, and that's them, and that's them, and that's why it makes me crazy, is because that's exactly who they are. And oh, by the way, that's me too. I keep it wrapped up, but I could be that way in a heartbeat. We look at people who are so awful. One of Debbie Ford's books, Why Good People Do Bad Things. Great book. And she talks about this experience of the shadow, because I am that. I am charming and sparkling and patient and wonderful. I am hateful and surly and cranky and impatient, and get me on a bad day when I've got to get through Costco in a short period of time and stand back. And guess what? So are you. We all have all of those characteristics. We just decide what to keep under wraps and what not. But we've got to as we tolerate and then accept and then embrace that in ourselves, we do the same thing in other people and recognize why this is ringing my bell. Spending a lot of time with family allows us, it's a wonderful thing, to recognize the number of times that the bell gets rung and why this is ringing my bell and how I can change, how I can look at this in a different way so the bell doesn't get rung. And if it does, look at it from understanding and gratitude and embracing rather than just tolerating. There are things that I would suggest that we don't have to tolerate. Things like living in lack and limitation and struggle. Edwin Gaines, who you've heard me talk about before, she's a wonderful author and a dear friend and a mentor, and she has a list of prosperity affirmations. And one of the affirmations she says, and if you'd like a copy of this list, let me know and I will get it for you. She says, I release all sense of burden, struggle, and fear. I love the concept of that. What burdens do we carry with us? What burdens do we carry with us? What are we up on the cross hanging on to? I release all sense of burden, struggle, and fear. And maybe that's a change in a belief. Maybe that's forgiving ourselves or someone else for something that happened. Maybe that's changing our story about whatever it was from that was the worst thing that could have possibly happened in my life to that was the best thing, or I so didn't want to do that, and yet there was something in it for me. There was a blessing in it for me, and I choose to see that blessing. It requires us to know the difference. I love the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to change the things I can, to accept the things I can't change, and to me, most importantly, the wisdom to know the difference. What burdens are we dragging around saying, well, if they just, well, they may not. Can we accept what we can't change, and can we see the difference? Accepting what we can't change and the wisdom to know the difference. So can we step up from tolerating whatever it is with our teeth gritted? Can we step up from tolerating to accepting to embracing? It feels so much better. And part of the reason we must do this, one of the reasons we want to consider doing this is because if we stand around tolerating things, guess what? We get more things to tolerate with our teeth gritted and our feet firmly planted in the mud. If we begin to accept and embrace, then we get more wonderful, heart-opening things that we aren't in judgment about. Because so often tolerance has to do with judgment. How am I looking at this, and why am I needing to tolerate it? So we have patience, tolerance. Number three is steadfastness. That's an old biblical word, or at least that's how it sounds like to me. But consider being steadfast. We do our spiritual mind treatment, our affirmative prayer. We end it with, and so it is, which is the translation of amen. Done. Absolutely no, done. This afternoon, looking for the manifestation or the demonstration or the answered prayer, and it's not here yet. What do we say? Well, it's a dumb game anyway. This teaching doesn't work. Do we? We don't. Well, and I would bet that every once in a while, you know, steadfastness allows us, this strength, this experience of strength allows us to keep on keeping on and knowing that, again, like we talked about earlier, we're not talking God into doing anything. We're not going out into the parking lot and shaking our fists at the sky, talking God into doing whatever it is. We are changing our belief about whatever it is. Edwin Gaines says, and you've heard me say this before and you will again, what must I change about myself in order to receive this? Because that's all we're doing. We're changing our belief in whatever it is. The Tao Te Ching. You've probably heard of it. It was written in about the year 200 BCE, so a really, really, really long time ago. And it has amazing wisdom. And one of the things it talks about is water. And it says, nothing in the world is softer and weaker than water. But for attacking the hard and strong, there is nothing like it. For nothing can take its place. That the weak overcomes the strong and the soft overcomes the hard, that is something known by all, but practiced by none. How did the Grand Canyon form? Wasn't it from the water flowing down from the Rockies and wherever else? And it just started as a trickle. And it kept going, and it kept going, and it kept going, and in its steadfastness created this most amazing place on earth. Do we allow ourselves to stay focused on what we want? Or do we go off in other directions and get discouraged and listen to what other people say about how we're too old or too young, or that's the economy's bad, or you're not going to have enough money for that, or nobody's going to read that, or nobody's going to do that? What do we focus on? Or do we remember to keep on keeping on? You're probably charming and sparkling 24/7, 365. I would like very much to tell you that I am as well. And if anybody asks you, would you please let them know that I am? But I'll tell, yes, I know, coughing from the back of the room. But we're not. And if we are, I have a friend that is just always, and I just want to stick her with a pin because, you know, come on now. You can get angry. You can get upset. It's okay, because we do. We're spiritual beings having a human experience, and the human experience part is somebody cut in front of you and took that parking place. The human experience is the check didn't come today. The human experience is whatever. So in this experience of steadfastness, the boat goes down. The boat goes down the river, and it veers into the weeds once in a while. So the opportunity for us is, as soon as we start to veer into the weeds, we recognize it and bring ourselves back into the middle of the river and just keep steering so that we come back out of the weeds, and, by the way, not beat ourselves up when we go into the weeds, because that's just what we do, and it's okay. So we just, in this steadfastness, we just keep ourselves bringing ourselves back. The book that my Wednesday night class is using is Forgiveness and Other Acts of Love by Stephanie Dowrick, as I've talked about before. And the chapter we did Wednesday night was on fidelity. And so often we think of, and the chapter talked a lot about, the experience of fidelity related to sex. But consider the experience of, well, okay, for, I could have put this differently, but consider the experience of adultery. Think of it from a spiritual perspective. Remember Samson and Delilah? In the Old Testament, there is the story, and Samson is this great, big, manly man with really long hair. And the source of his strength, for whatever reason, was his hair. And then there's Delilah. And she's really cute and really hot. And she is given the challenge to defeat Samson by cutting off his hair. So she starts to spend time with him. And little by little, they get closer and closer. And then they get really close. I'm paraphrasing, by the way. They get really close. And I don't know, it might have been in the afterglow or whatever, but she cuts his hair off. What's the point of this? The point is, who do we sleep with? Who do we spend time with? Do we spend time with Fox News or CNN or whatever your news of choice is, and all of that, all those reports on the appearance of what's happening in the world? Or do we spend time in the truth of our being, which is that we're whole, complete, and perfect, and abundant, and joyful? Where do we spend our time? Because if we spend our time with Delilah, which is negativity and appearance and lack and struggle and judgment and the need for forgiveness, then that's where our strength goes. If we spend time with the truth, then that's where our strength goes. It's an interesting question, and I love the concept of that. So basically, who are we sleeping with? So we have patience, tolerance, steadfastness, and balance. And I would suggest in balance, there is that experience of seeing the appearance, but also knowing the truth, but also balance being all work and no play makes us a dull boy or girl. When was the last time we frolicked? I love that word. When was the last time we frolicked? We're so serious and so busy and so involved in human doings that we miss out on the opportunity to be human beings. Yes, it's the 1st of March. Yes, it's a little rainy outside, but we could go to the beach this afternoon. We could go to the mountains this afternoon and maybe see snow and then come back and go to the beach. San Diego is the most amazing place. I don't know any place like this place. It's just phenomenal. Do we allow ourselves to frolic? Or maybe that's not your thing. Maybe it's going and having a coffee with somebody or going to the mall or whatever. But we must have that balance in our experience because it feeds us. It nourishes our souls when we're out having fun, whatever that experience of fun is for us. It replenishes us and rebuilds our strength. So patience, tolerance, steadfastness, and balance, which includes, by the way, our spiritual practice, whatever that is for you, whether it's meditation, whether it's reading, whether it's coming to class on Wednesday night and church on Sunday, whatever it is. But I so invite us, and I include myself in that, to be aware of what we do to replenish our spiritual side. That's important for us, along with what we do for our physical side in eating and sleeping and all the rest of that. So I invite you this week to join me and be aware of your what brings you strength and recognize that it's not just going to the gym and lifting weights, it's also being consciously conscious and being patient and being welcoming and being steadfast and being in balance. So with that in mind, let's go into the light for a minute. So in the peace and the quiet of this moment, we allow ourselves to be reminded of our oneness with the God presence, with one another, and with all of life. We give thanks for this glorious rainy day in San Diego, yet another experience of the abundance of the universe. We give thanks for slow traffic. We give thanks for inconvenience. We give thanks for needing the umbrella. We give thanks for the opportunity to be together this morning and to be reminded of our truth. And we choose to go about our business this week in this consciousness of strength, knowing that we never walk alone. And so we can be patient. We can be welcoming and tolerating and embracing, because that's the truth of our being. And it feels so much better than the opposite. We give thanks for our time together this morning, for this place we call Joyful Living Spiritual Center, for the people here with us. And together we say, and so it is. Patience. Patience.
rushing river of life I rush with no apologies. I bend and surrender willingly. I give myself enthusiastically. I'm the source of life eternally. I am the rushing river of life. 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 There's nowhere I cannot go. There's nothing I cannot be. With this river of life moving, ever moving through me. I rise and crest majestically. I break and crash explosively. Rushing river.